If a Christian doesn't pray about heaven, that's a remarkable lack. Who ever heard of exiles not thinking about home?
Now, I said, that's exactly what the rosary is. We are in a new moment of time and a new moment of space. So we keep saying to our Lord and to the Blessed Mother, I love you, I love you.
That's the Holy Rosary. That's the Catholic faith. The whole Catholic faith is in it.
Well, I want to welcome you all to another Daily Decad, a rosary on the road. Yet again, another day where I have to start multiple recordings. This time I'm catching myself in a coughing fit at the beginning of one. Thought it was so funny I entered a laughing fit at the beginning of the second one. And now here we are once again. Now, we've got prayer. Today is the second glorious mystery we're going to be reflecting on. We've got prayers here for... Well, you know, actually, I probably ought to lose the smile. It's something of a... It's a matter of gravity. It is for BP and LP that they be protected from the sin of divorce, which is never a fun subject to talk about, and one that is... although, you know, always timely because of the fact that we live in a world with so little peace. And... You know, there's a way to think about peace that's very worldly. You know, well, why can't we all just get along? That sort of thing. And you know, the anti-war movement, the kind of peace you typically associate with hippies. And then there's another worldly peace, a sort of ability to confront conflict and to weather storms with equilibrium, for lack of a better word, that one is even-keeled, that one can make it through storms because the vessel that one is traveling in is well-built to withstand that sort of thing. And in this way, you don't have a whole lot of worldly peace, but you have the ability never to allow the worldly peace to capsize you or to drag you into an emotional or spiritual abyss. And that's what it means to have peace. I suppose this is why people talk about having an inner peace, but it's not really even necessarily an inner peace, because it does shoo forth from the person. A person who has this sort of peace isn't just inside of them. It radiates around them, and it affects the people around them. You know, someone who can shrug things off. I would hate to say go with the flow, because that's what dead fish do. We Christians swim against the river. But nevertheless, that is what it is. It's an ability to find, to act as though you are on the path of least resistance, even when you're not. That's the key to otherworldly peace. So, anyway, I suppose I'll talk about that a little. That was what I was planning on talking about today anyway. So it's funny that the question of divorce and dissension should even arise. But we'll pray for them to have this otherworldly peace and for it to affect one another. If you have a prayer request, I encourage you to write them in. dailydecadrequests@proton.me is the email to send them to. Decad, D-E-C-A-D-E, requests in the plural, at proton.m for Michael, E for Elizabeth. You can also comment on the Telegram channel. I'm on Telegram, I'm on Gab, I'm on the Fediverse, on the post instance, poa.st. All of those are at the Daily Decad. If you ever have any comments, any questions, anything that you want to send in, any prayer requests to send in, right now we've got prayer requests that will carry us into February, but I do have one or two spots for requiem prayers, or for someone who's ill, someone who's sick, or someone who's going on a journey, since those are the days. Friday is the day we pray in Latin, and I cannot compose Latin prayer in the way that we do on the weekdays, but I can certainly pray prayers that have been set aside by the church for these purposes. So that's the reason why those categories are there. And the categories will probably expand over time as I have access to more prayers and am able to pray them. So those are the ways to get in touch. I missed some other ways to get in touch with me. I listed the sort of social media things, but there's also the website praytherosaryeveryday.wordpress.com. I am syndicated on americana.org as well as exodusamericanus.com. If you are interested in bringing the rosary to your audience, you run a podcast network or anything like that, feel free to reach out to me. I'm happy to bring this to whomever I can. So I'm always looking for more audiences, more people that I can pray for, that I can pray with, and that I can teach to pray the rosary, which is the best prayer that you could possibly say. So, having said all of that, why don't we go ahead and put ourselves in the presence of God and pray for LP and for BP and for their current state. Go ahead and get your rosaries out. By the way, if you don't have one, they're not hard to come by. You really should have one if you're going to pray. Actually, get the sacramental. And, you know, as a Catholic, the sacramental carries with it certain benefits. As a non-Catholic, if you're listening to it, it is actually quite helpful to keep track of what you're doing. That's part of the reason why prayer beads first entered into Christian practice, was in order to track the prayer and to assist you, to be there with you, you know, in the same way that, you know, Bishop Sheen talks about the rosary as a sort of divine timing mechanism. You know, as you reflect on each of the mysteries going through each of the decades, you know that you can reflect, you can take the time to think about each mystery for, instead of saying 10 minutes or 5 minutes or an hour, you say for the duration of 10 Hail Marys. You know, for the duration of a Pater and 10 Aves, that's how long you reflect on the mystery as a personal practice, to draw yourself nearer to God through mental prayer. That's the whole point. That's the big secret behind the rosary. So if you don't have one, get one. And you can find them at just about any Catholic church. They are still out there, despite all the changes. It's the one thing that you'll still find at most churches is at least a plastic rosary, and then you can get a proper one later on. Now, if you have them, go ahead and we'll pull them out and pray for LP and BP. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Maker of heaven and earth, and Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who by the Holy Ghost was conceived, was born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. For an increase in faith, hope, and charity, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. The second glorious mystery is the ascension of our Lord into heaven. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Hail, Holy Queen, Mother of Mercy, our life, our sweetness, and our hope. To thee do we cry, poor banished children of Eve. To thee do we send up our sighs, mourning and weeping from this vale of tears. Turn then, O gracious Advocate, thine eyes of mercy unto us, and after this, our exile, shew unto us the blessed fruit of thy womb, Jesus. O clement, O loving, O sweet Virgin Mary. Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. Let us pray. O God, who didst deign to send thine only begotten Son, who by his life, death, and resurrection didst purchase for us the rewards of eternal life, look with favor on us, that meditating on the sacred mysteries of the Most Holy Rosary of the Blessed Virgin Mary, we may imitate what they contain and obtain what they promise. Through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. O Saint Monica, we humbly beg thy intercession on behalf of the servant of God and the handmaiden of God, LP and BP, that as thou in life didst strengthen thy husband and convert his heart to Christ, may they in turn strengthen one another and convert one another to the fullness of God's charity, to the recognition of the union and the bond of sacramental matrimony, that they may grow nearer to one another and nearer to God. Saints Joachim and Anna, parents of the Blessed Mother, most perfect married couple, we humbly beg thy intercession, that the grace which inspired thy union, your union, grace that inspired your union, your togetherness, your perfection before God, to be so favored as to be the parents of the Mother of God and the grandparents of God himself in flesh, might likewise inspire and be infused to the marriage of LP and BP, that they may grow in faith and that they may avoid all sins, most especially the sin of divorce. This we humbly beg in the name of Jesus Christ, who with God the Father and the Holy Ghost reign one God, world without end. Amen. For all of us in our dissensions, our difficulties, our controversies, St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the Heavenly Host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all evil spirits who prowl about the world seeking the ruin of souls. Amen. Most Sacred Heart of Jesus, have mercy on us. Most Sacred Heart of Jesus, have mercy on us. Most Sacred Heart of Jesus, thy kingdom come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Dissension and controversy are, in a way, the natural state of man. Hobbes and Locke and Rousseau and all of those sort of large-brained idiots from the early Enlightenment, they get a lot of things wrong, obviously. Their conclusions all go in very wrong directions. But I can't say that I necessarily blame them for drawing the conclusion that the state of nature, that man in this state, should be a war of all against all, that life should be nasty, brutish, and short, and that man is, by his nature, at war with himself. Because that's observed reality. Anyone who looks at humanity can see that man is at war with himself. He is, St. Paul talks about it. He talks, I think it's in Corinthians. It might be Colossians, but I think it's in Corinthians, where he talks about how he knows what to do, and yet it is like there is another person inside of him preventing him from taking that path, causing him to go in a different direction. Drawing him away from God. Even though he knows what he must do, he desires the opposite. He knows that what he desires is wrong, but nevertheless, he cannot suppress or destroy that desire. He can control it and deny it, but that's all he can do. And so it's this struggle is ongoing, and it's part of the reason why ultimately he says our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. When he tells, and I believe this is in Corinthians, to put on the whole armor of God. We are in a state of dissension because of sin. We are at war with ourselves, and because we are at war with ourselves, we are necessarily at war with one another. All of our conflicts, all of our strife, is all rooted in this absence of God. This sinfulness, because that's what sin is. And St. Augustine talks about that in his, I believe he defines it in I'm trying to remember exactly what it was. I want to say it's in the Freedom of the Will. It may be in the Freedom of the Will, but it may be in another text where he talks about the eternity of God, and he ends up talking about the idea of evil and the absence of God. I mean, it's a very basic concept. It's not Augustine's not the one who invented it, but it's there articulated that, you know, the root of evil is the absence of God. Evil is not a thing, it is a nothing. Ah, it's in the Confessions. It just came back to me when he's talking about the Manichees, because the Manichees think of evil as being material, and Augustine concludes that no, evil is not material, evil is the lack of existence, it's the lack of God, it's the absence of God. And sin, therefore, is the absence of God. Whenever we sin, whenever we fall into contention, and this isn't to say the kind of righteous anger and admonition and correction that necessarily has to happen. When you see someone doing evil, you have a responsibility to tell them to stop doing that. You have a responsibility to tell them, first of all, that it's evil, and secondly, that they ought not to be doing it because they're doing damage to themselves as well as to others. And ultimately, because they're really offending God, that's the real reason why you don't do evil. You're distancing yourself from God, you're driving God out of your life, and you're driving God out of the areas around you. And that's what it means to give offense to God. To deny him the right of presence and rule, since all the world is his private property. How would you feel if someone were to walk into your living room and tell you, well, you can use every other room in the house, but not this one? Well, that's sort of what we do. When we sin, we drive God out of ourselves, which is a place in which he has a right to dwell. This is Christ at the Ascension. He is stating this, and he is giving us the remedy for this dissension and contention, both within ourselves and among one another. While Christ was yet on earth, before he was crucified, he spoke to the apostles, and in, I believe it's John's Gospel, there is a contention that arises at the Last Supper of who of them would betray him, and likewise, who of them was the greatest. This conflict over, or controversy over who of them was the greatest, was something that was also argued over earlier, I believe in Luke. There's an argument over who's the greatest of the apostles. And I want to say that it happens shortly after, I think it's Philip and, no, it's James. And it's not James and John. Maybe it is the sons of Zebedee, sons of thunder, who ask Christ if he would want them to call down fire upon a city that had rejected him. And he tells them, you know not of whose spirit you are. He rebukes them because they have this spirit of contention in them, and they contend with one another, arguing with one another over who's to be the greatest. And when Christ is resurrected, the women come to the apostles and say, Christ is risen, he's not in the tomb. And immediately a decent chunk of them simply reject what the women are saying. They say they just shrug their shoulders at them and say, you've seen something. You think this, but it's not so. And then they go to the tomb and find out that they're wrong. But here's all these points of conflict. And Peter and the apostles come into conflict with Christ. They come into conflict with one another. And that ceases, by and large, at the Ascension. What Christ does at the Ascension, and what he ultimately does at Pentecost, he says, peace I give you, my peace I leave you, is from the Last Supper. It's in the Mass at any rate. He is offering them the way to get out of this dissension. And it is his presence in among them and their presence within him that solves the question of controversy and dissension. I am with you always, even to the consummation of the world, is the promise that he gives them at the Ascension. Because with the coming of the Holy Ghost on Pentecost, they become one body. his body. And there is no interior dissension within Christ. In order to be a conflict with someone else in Christ, one has to move out of Christ and into oneself. The solution to sin that Christ offers us is participation, full participation in his body and who he is. Now, some contention arises, conflict arises, because of the faults of men. St. Peter and St. Paul have their conflict over the question of the Jewish dietary laws. There are conflicts of those who preach a different gospel. St. Paul warns us against those kinds of people. And so there are some that are cut off from the body of Christ. And then there's contention within the body of Christ that is resolved through, The Council of Jerusalem is a wonderful example how no one in that council is actually in contention with one another. They recognize that there is an incongruence, a lack of agreement among them. Paul admonishes Peter. But at the Council of Jerusalem, there is argument. But they all understand that they must be and are of one body, and therefore that the solution to the conflict is not necessarily the splitting from one another. It's not an agreement to disagree, but rather everybody works together to get on the same page at the Council of Jerusalem, and they do that through reference to hierarchy and authority. St. Peter there as head of the church, prince of the apostles, and then St. James, the bishop of Jerusalem, in his own hierarchical capacity as the head of the Jerusalemite church. Both of these hierarchs are there, and they are the ones that bring about peace. Now, there's a reference to the head of the church. Unity and hierarchy are the solutions that Christ offers to us for the dissensions within us, this state of war of all against all that exists within our own hearts, this contentiousness. If we are unified in Christ, and if we acknowledge his authority and reference his authority in all that we do, and the authority of those who speak for him or his representatives, then this dissension is calmed. This is why it says, you know, if you have a conflict with your brother, go to your brother. Don't wait for him to come to you. Go to him and seek peace. And if he will not hear you, bring two or three others. And if they will not hear you, bring him to the church. And if he will not hear the church, then let him be unto you as a publican and a heathen. But you go through all of these steps and you involve the unity, you draw him into the unity, you attempt to draw this conflict into the unity. You have a conflict with him, you know, and that's the assumption. The assumption is he caused the conflict. But you go to him. Always seek healing first. Seek union first. Empty yourself as Christ empties himself on the cross. You empty yourself. Since Christ on the cross draws all things to himself. And we likewise, given the power to become the sons of God, as those who believe on his name, have the opportunity to draw all things unto ourselves through participation in the suffering of Christ. And in so doing, to create the peace and the unity that is God's desire for us. And as long as we all have God, we are all unified. Now, I know that this sounds a little bit like, well, you know, let's all hold hands and sing Kumbaya. But no, this is something that exists in different communities. A nation, a people, a family cannot exist without two elements, unity and hierarchy. Everything in imitation of God's church. Everything breaks down into levels. St. Dionysius the Areopagite talks about the celestial hierarchy. Hierarchy is of God. So it's not just everybody in the world holding hands, all being at peace with one another, although that would be ideal. You know, ideally, we don't have war with one another. But it doesn't eliminate differences. It doesn't melt us all together into an amalgam. That's worldly peace. Remember, the amalgam. And usually worldly peace is accompanied by inner turmoil, by tremendous spiritual turmoil, in fact. It's the design of the devil to make the entire world one, but have all of our spirits at war with one another. That's the design of God, that all of our spirits should be at peace and unified to Him and share in His unity, but nevertheless to maintain who and what we are, who and what He has created us to be. When all the world is at peace and the final judgment has come and all things are made unified, we don't suddenly all become, you know, monkeys or alligators or bananas. We're still human beings. We're still of our own families, our own bloodlines, our own nations, our own race. We maintain what we are, but we are nevertheless unified, at peace within ourselves and with one another, because we are unified to God. And that's the Christian ideal. And that's the whole point of the ascension, is to leave peace so that He is no longer separated out from us as an individual person, but we are all in Him as the church. And may we all have that unity, that freedom from dissension, freedom from contention, and the humility and love, the faith, the hope, the charity to pursue that within ourselves and with our brothers. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.
The moon is the symbol of Our Lady. The moon is for those in darkness. And I think in a special way for sinners. So that if we but look to her who is the moon and derives all light from the sun, they would never fall into an abyss. Now this is the rosary.